Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Digital Equipment Corporation conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, January 23rd, 1996. Your speakers for today are Mr. Dan Cafferly, Manager of Financial Media Relations for Digital Equipment, Mr. Ball Palmer, Chief Executive Officer for Digital Equipment, and Mr. Vin Malarkey, Vice President and Chief Financial Officer for Digital Equipment. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Cafferly. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, and welcome to Digital Equipment's second quarter earnings teleconference. Thank you for calling in. Our second quarter earnings release is available on PR Newswire and can be accessed through the digital homepage on the World Wide Web. We'll also have a post-view number to call to hear a recording of the teleconference beginning at 12:30. The details will be discussed at the conclusion of the teleconference. This morning I have with me Digital Chairman Bob Palmer and Digital Chief Financial Officer Vin Malarkey. Bob will open the teleconference with an overview of the quarter, and then Vin will go in, over the numbers in more depth. We will then open the session up to questions. The teleconference will end promptly at 11:45. Bob?
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. It was just 1 year ago that Digital announced its return to profitability, a watershed event in our financial turnaround. The real test was whether we could sustain and build upon that achievement. With net income increasing to $149 million in the second quarter of our fiscal 1996, we have now reported 5 consecutive profitable quarters. Of course, our return to profitability was just the first proof point of Digital's turnaround. We also needed to show that we could grow the revenue. That is a top priority for fiscal year 96 and beyond, and I am pleased to report that our Q2 results contain strong evidence of our progress. Digital's revenue growth accelerated in the last quarter. In fact, we achieved the highest quarterly revenue in the company's history, almost $4 billion. We reported significant growth in product revenues, which were up 26% year over year. This demonstrates very clearly that market demand for Digital's products and services is growing, and I expect continued progress as we move into the second half of our fiscal year. We are seeing growth all across our company, from PCs and servers to storage subsystems, network products, and multi-vendor customer services, and across all geographies. What I want to emphasize this morning is the growing market demand for 64-bit computing, in particular, Digital's Alpha systems. Vin is going to go through the quarterly numbers in a moment, but let me give you some facts about our Alpha systems business. Sales of Alpha systems grew 50% over last year, driven by strong market demand for our Alpha server systems. However, we also reported revenue growth and strong order rate growth in our Alpha workstation business, with particularly significant growth in workstation shipping with Windows NT. Total cumulative product and service revenue from the Alpha family now exceeds $7 billion. And we have shipped almost 170,000 Alpha systems in less than 3 years. Few other new architectures have been accepted so rapidly. Customers are beginning to fully appreciate the benefits of working in the 64-bit environment. They want affordable client-server computing at blinding speeds. They want 64-bit Unix with all of its robustness and security. And they would prefer to grow for the next decade and beyond without needing to endure additional operating system and architectural migrations. Digital's Alpha systems meet these requirements. The transition to 64-bit computing is not only inevitable, it is already underway. And with Alpha, we are giving customers compelling reasons to move today. I can think of no better example than our powerful new servers, the Alpha Server 8000 family. With 64-bit Digital Unix, and the very large memory capabilities made possible by Oracle's 64-bit database software, these systems do more than just speed up current business processes. They enable entirely new standards of cost performance for mission-critical applications, from data warehousing to online transaction processing. Customers can run some database-intensive mainframe operations at 200 times the speed of a mainframe for 1/20th the cost of ownership. The evidence of our leadership is more than anecdotal. We now have solid proof of the industry-leading performance and price performance that Alpha 64-bit computing delivers to customers. Over the last 3 months, Digital and its partners announced a number of database and application performance benchmarks for Alpha Server 8400 systems running Digital Unix, a 64-bit operating system. Two excellent examples are Oracle Very Large Memory Database TPCC benchmarks and the SAP software benchmark for SAP R3. These benchmarks shattered previous records and clearly established digital superiority in high-performance enterprise computing. Demand is growing rapidly. In only 9 months, we have sold 1,000 Alpha Server 8000 systems. Sybase, Informix, Software AG, and other leading database vendors are all working with us on their own 64-bit VLM database software. They see big growth opportunities in this market, and they intend to be part of it. Windows NT is also going to be a key driver of our Alpha business. You may recall that as part of our Alliance for Enterprise Computing, Microsoft agreed to release Windows NT server software simultaneously on both Alpha and Intel architectures. And even though Windows NT is a 32-bit operating system, it runs faster on Digital's Alpha platform than on any other system. Our partnership with Microsoft continues to build momentum as we develop cooperative sales and marketing opportunities, solidify our joint engineering relationships, expand our customer service capabilities, and work together to bring Windows-based solutions to enterprise computing. The alliance is a key factor in the growth of our Windows NT business. Windows NT revenue was up more than 100% in Q2. We also see another exploding market where 64-bit computing will play an increasingly important role, the Internet. Many of the emerging applications on the Internet, like interactive video and three-dimensional animation, will absolutely require instant access to massive databases. These applications will have to handle thousands of simultaneous requests from thousands of concurrent users. Digital believes that there are at least three reasons why this new environment will demand 64-bit computing. First, sheer speed. For example, to enable rapid response to informational queries or to enable complex modeling and real-time simulations to be efficiently performed. Second, virtually unlimited memory addressability for instant access to massive databases. And third, affordability, better than mainframe performance at prices usually associated with workstations and servers. Just look at the Internet SuperSpider technology that Digital introduced last month under the codename AltaVista. It provides fast, easy access to more than 16 million web pages on the Internet at speeds that are orders of magnitude greater than any other search service. It is the largest, fastest web search engine in the world, with an average query answered in under 1 second. After only 3 weeks, the average number of hits on this Alpha server is more than 2 million each day. Although we've established a leadership position in 64-bit enterprise and technical computing, we recognize that we will soon face increasing competition in the 64-bit market. Some of our major competitors will finally ship 64-bit systems in the near future, more than 3 years after we began to do so. But let me point out that they will still have a very difficult and complicated transition to make from 32-bit computing. Having the chips in a box is a good start, but you also need a 64-bit operating system and application migration tools and training and so on. And the application migrations are usually not trivial. In some cases, competitors are telling their customers that they will need to make multiple migrations in the next few years as they change the underlying architectures. That gives Digital a significant opportunity to grow our business and solidify our position as the industry leader in 64-bit computing with a consistent, scalable architecture and modern 64-bit standards-compliant Unix. I would like to now turn the program over to Vin Mullarkey, our Chief Financial Officer.
Thank you, Bob, and good morning. Our focus at Digital for Fiscal 96 is revenue growth and improved profitability. Last quarter, Digital delivered record-level quarterly revenues and achieved our best financial performance in over 5 years. Quarter two was our fifth consecutive quarter with improved bottom-line performance, reporting a net income of $149 million. This performance is a result of continued operational improvements across the company. With the quarter two net profit level of 4%, we have achieved an 8-point profit improvement in 18 months. we are within a margin point of the 5% net income goal that we set early last fiscal year. Last quarter, revenue performance is another proof point of our successful corporate strategy. The 14% revenue growth was our highest in nearly 5 years. The 26% product sales growth, which is 30% adjusted for divestments, is our strongest growth since 1984 and positions Digital with the leaders in the computer industry. We are seeing strong demand in all of our key product areas. Alpha systems were up over 50% year over year, driven by increasing demand for 64-bit computing. We achieved growth at all levels of the Alpha product line, enterprise service, entry service, as well as workstations. We're seeing continued very strong demand for TurboLaser, with revenues doubled over last quarter, and an increasing list of new customer wins. Last quarter, Digital rolled out a new line of workstations coupled with an aggressive sales and marketing plan. We are beginning to see positive results from these efforts as we achieve growth in our Alpha workstations business. Our component product businesses grew by more than 30%. This includes our network products business with its successful Envision architecture and the storage business unit with their industry-leading StorageWorks product line. Our personal computer business continued to capture market share, growing over 40% last quarter. Our service businesses also performed well during the second quarter. The multi-vendor maintenance business had sales growth over 35%, and the overall network and systems integration business achieved improved growth performance. We continue to see a predictable decline on the order of some 5% in our digital product maintenance business. We expect to see that our higher growth service offerings pull our total service business into a growth mode over the next several quarters. We continue to show overall gross margin improvement with our quarter two performance at 32.6%. This is ahead of our short-term business model. I expect to see continued improvements in gross margins with product gross margins improving at a rate faster than the decline in service margins. Product gross margins are on a consistent, continuous improvement path, up some 7 points or nearly 30% over the last 18 months. These improvements are the result of high volumes on fewer products, higher margin product mix, improved focus on designing for lower cost, and the divestiture of non-strategic, low-margin products. As previously projected, service margins declined for the quarter. This was a result of more growth in profitable but low-margin multi-vendor services. Total operating expenses for the quarter were $1.1 billion. This represents a slight reduction over the comparable quarter last year. Sequentially, expenses have increased $122 million, driven by previously announced demand generation activities and variable sales and marketing expenses associated with a nearly $700 million sequential revenue increase. Digital has achieved significant reductions in operating expenses over the last few years. There remain a number of cost reduction programs going on within the company, primarily in general administrative and support areas. With our significant strength and competitive position, we will continue to invest to capture market share in key areas. Despite these investments, I expect the relationship of expense levels to improve as a percentage of revenues. Relative to the balance sheet, cash increased $362 million versus quarter two to $1.5 billion. The inventory levels reflected a solid improvement, and inventory turns improved considerably from 4.2 turns to 5 turns versus last year. Property, plant, and equipment levels also improved substantially, with turns at 7.2, up from 4.9 a year ago. Our accounts receivable DSO performance was negatively impacted by an unusually high percentage of shipments late in the quarter. This is largely supply-related, and I expect it to improve over the next quarter or so. So to summarize, our revenue growth, particularly in the product area, has accelerated to levels consistent with industry leaders. Our profit performance continues to improve, and we are now within a point of our short-term model. Our strong balance sheet continues to strengthen in most respects. And based on our continuous progress these past 18 months, we are on track to achieve our short-term model during the second half of this fiscal year. Management is now focused on finalizing the next phase of our financial plans, which will bring Digital's profit margins in line with industry leaders over the next year or so. Thank you. Bob and I will now take your questions.
Joel, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If your questions have been answered and you would like to withdraw your polling request, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you are using a speakerphone today, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers. One moment, please, for the first question. Terry Shannon, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Good morning. This is Terry Shannon from Shannon Knows Deck in Ashland, Massachusetts. I have two brief questions for Mr. Palmer. First off, what was the percentage of indirect revenue versus direct revenue for the quarter just ended? And secondly, what was the, on the Alpha product line, what was the percentage of workstation revenues versus server revenues?
Terry, thank you for your questions. Indirect revenues were approximately, talking about our products, 57% during the quarter. And the split between servers and workstations was approximately 70% servers, 30% workstations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Hiawatha Bray, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question. Pardon me, we will move on to the next question. Brian Richardson, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Yes, the Meta Group in Stamford, Connecticut. Congratulations on some other continuing excellent results. Terry Shannon addressed the first part of my question, but could one of you elaborate a little on the proportion of product revenue sold through your direct top 1,000 or so accounts versus indirect?
Yes, the growth was balanced. We have not we generally don't disclose the business revenues by business unit. But I would say this: that the growth that we enjoyed this past quarter was balanced between direct revenues and indirect.
Thank you.
Liz Galise, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Yes, hello, this is Liz Galise at Bloomberg Business News. I would like to know if your core computer business was profitable. I recall from our last teleconference in the first quarter it was not. Same question for the PC business. And if not, in both instances, when do you expect that?
Yes, Liz. This is Vin speaking. Our core business was profitable this quarter. We're taking into account both system sales and aftermarket sales. That's aftermarket products and services.
Mm-hmm.
And relative to the PC business, the goals that we had for our PC unit this quarter, among others, were to break even. And I'm pleased to announce that goal was slightly exceeded. And we're well positioned to move up into the higher profit levels in the second half.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Ken Johnson, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Hi, Ken Johnson. I'm calling from the Eagle Tribune. You had some reductions in workforce from the same period last year. I was wondering if those are going to continue in 96, or have we pretty much seen the end of workforce reductions?
I don't think that anybody can know the future, and we certainly don't, but assuming that the marketplace remains reasonable, and we continue to enjoy strong demand for our products and services, which we fully expect, we're not planning any significant workforce reductions. Of course, any company the size of Digital has ongoing improvements in productivity just driven by the technology, and you have changes in the population as opportunities present themselves. In some cases, adding people. For example, in our Alliance for Enterprise Computing with Microsoft, we are already well into the recruiting and training of Microsoft-certified engineers to support Windows NT for enterprise computing, so those are additions. We have some technology issues over time that will drive some reductions, but certainly nothing of the magnitude that we've experienced in achieving this turnaround is anticipated for the future, given my caveats about a reasonable economic environment on a worldwide basis.
Thank you.
Jennifer Gorin, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
My name is Jennifer Gorin. I'm from WBUR in Boston. And because I missed just the very beginning of the conference, I wanted to ask specifically what accounts for this tremendous surge in this quarter.
I think that you're seeing the result of a number of strategic initiatives that we took, beginning with the reorganization of the company in our fiscal 94, at the end of 94. Organizing the company by product business unit, making sure there was clear accountability, and giving each of the leaders of the business units, product and service business units, the opportunity to invest in creating new products and services and bringing those to market. What you're seeing, is the growth in our 64-bit servers that are driven by the market recognition, as I described, of very large memory databases, the advantage of having very large file sizes, the cost-performance advantage of alpha servers, both in the mid-range and the high-end, and that's clearly driving our products business. We're having excellent success in our network products business, which are we're leaders in switched architecture, in our storage, which we've addressed as RAID storage for not only digital, but really platform-neutral RAID storage is growing very rapidly. Our network integration services is growing, software utility services. So as you look at each of the business units, PCs, Vin already mentioned, I mean, it's hard to name any business unit that doesn't have a successful product and service strategy for growing the business. And we're starting to see those now as the recognition that digital is positioned where the market wants to go is being realized. So I'm very optimistic. If you think the world is moving to 64-bit computing, it will be happening over the next several years, and digital is 2 to 3 years ahead of the market. So those are some brief overviews as to what's fueling this growth.
Greg Gary, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Yes, Greg Gary, DataQuest, San Jose. A couple of things I was interested in. What is the latest snapshot of the operating system mix for the three OSs that you guys are supporting? And also, do you have a breakdown of the mix of Intel Inside systems as opposed to Alpha-based systems?
On the second question, Greg, the business is approximately 50-50. That is to say, the Alpha core Alpha business is approximately comparable to their core Intel-based system.
Okay.
In terms of the revenue mix, the Intel-based system is slightly larger. Relative to your first question on operating system mix, our VMS business was essentially flat this quarter, down slightly. Our Unix business continues to do extraordinarily well, up 65% growth. And that is a solid growth and strengthening. And our Windows NT business has grown well over 100% this quarter. But obviously that our successful Windows NT program and our Unix program is what's fueling the systems growth of the company.
Great, thank you.
Mike Willman, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Yes, hello. My name is Mike Willman from DataQuest in England, UK. Congratulations again on the good financial results. And I'd just like to ask, out of your total worldwide services revenues, what percentage of that emanates from Europe? And out of that European total, what percentage is actually MCS revenue, please?
I don't know the MCS breakdown offhand, but approximately 50% of our service business is in Europe, and the MCS element of our service business at the corporate level is approximately 70%.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Paul Taylor, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Paul Taylor from the Financial Times in London. Looking at your PC performance, as you say, that's somewhat better than you had been hoping. Is that a reflection of the success of the notebooks, or is it your desktop systems that are helping there? And is that across the board, or is it primarily U.S.?
We've had good acceptance worldwide of our PC products, and we've had good acceptance in the portables, the desktops, and the servers. But the financial performance in servers carry an inherently higher margin. It's certainly been driven by the servers and also by the change in management that we made in the last quarter to get a little more focused. And as you probably recall, at the last conference, we talked about making sure we had a good balance in the PC business between growth and profitability. As Vin noticed, we were quite pleased to achieve essentially break-even in that unit, and we're positioned for reasonable profits in the unit through the rest of our fiscal year, assuming a reasonably stable PC market out there. So we're doing well. Products are well-recognized for quality and reliability and features, and we expect our success to continue.
Thank you.
Lori Villigra, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Yes, this is Lori Villigra with Reuters in Boston. My questions relate to the service business. The industry leaders seem to be at a 25% growth in their service business. Even Unisys has a 20% growth. And I'm wondering when and how digital will move to achieve those rates, if that is a target, and more specifically, how non-product revenue from the Microsoft NT service business figures in, if you can attach some numbers to that. Thanks.
Yes, Lori. These digital service business, unlike the other systems vendors in our industry, is just under half of our total revenues. It's a much more significant share of the company's business than it is in, again, in the other computer companies. Having said that, we have several elements of our business. I'll give you a very brief high-level profile. There are four or five elements that are in high growth mode, areas that we have been investing in the recent past. For example, our PC utility program, network integration services program, systems integration activities, among others. Our multi-vendor service capability is also another good example. These units are growing and accelerating in most cases in terms of their rates of growth. We have what you might characterize as the traditional digital base, the second largest installed base in the computer industry, that is being serviced with remedial maintenance service. That piece of business is declining at a rate of about 5%. Our growth in the new businesses and the declines in the older business are about even at this point. One is pretty much offsetting the other. Over the next year or two, we expect the growth in these newer businesses as they continue to expand to far exceed the growth, the declining growth in the traditional business. And, again, we'll see that develop over the next year to 2 years.
Okay, and can you put some figures to what the Microsoft NT portion of that would be?
We have not disclosed that level of our plan, Lori. It is quite significant. It's certainly measured in hundreds of millions of dollars, but we have not disclosed the particulars of that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Next question, please.
Eric Convey, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
This is Eric Convey of the Boston Herald in Boston. A question for Mr. Palmer. Is Digital a company that's still in a recovery mode from your point, or is it just sort of a regular healthy company moving along? And secondly, did either of you, just how alpha the demand for the chips across the board is compared to your own goals?
I would say that at this point, Digital is a healthy enterprise. We have completed the financial turnaround of the company. We have developed a organizational structure that has accountability and focus. We have developed a clear strategy for growth that we've disclosed to the industry and has been well accepted by industry analysts as well as by our customers. And now we're executing that strategy, which should lead to continued growth of the enterprise. That being said, we're not yet at acceptable levels of profitability. Our objective is to be equal to the leaders in growth rates and profitability, and we haven't yet accomplished that. On the other hand, if you look at earnings as a percent of revenue during the current quarter, approximately 4%, which is within one percentage point of our originally stated near-term objective of 5% after tax. As soon as we achieve that objective, we expect to announce an intermediate objective that, of course, is better than that. And after achieving that, we'll have a long-term objective to be at the absolute leadership position in the industry, right up there with the best in terms of profit after tax. So healthy company, but still need to focus on execution and growth in order to deliver leadership profit, and that's our objective.
And the second part is how alpha demand across the board is.
Alpha demand is continuing to grow, as I mentioned. If you're talking about the systems, it's very strong. As we said, it was up over 50% year over year, driven by very strong growth in both Unix and Windows NT with a very slight decline in VMS. That is expected to continue and I think accelerate. If you think about it, up until this point, really, the only database vendor out there that was recommending the digital platform until recently was Oracle. for its performance and because they were the first company to recognize the importance of 64-bit database capability and the applications that run on top of that. As I mentioned, we now have virtually every database company in the world trying to get a 64-bit implementation of their database on our platform. In fact, our platform is the only choice because we're the only 64-bit platform that has not only the chip but also the operating system necessary to enable the applications. Our competitors are going to start shipping some 64-bit boxes pretty soon, but none of them have a 64-bit operating system for commercial applications. And depending on which company you're talking about, they're between 1 and 3 years away from doing so. So we have a tremendous window of opportunity to continue to grow our products based on Alpha. In addition to that, something else happened in the last quarter that was very interesting. Intel brought out a two large chips, implementation of their architecture called the Pentium Pro. These two large chips and an expensive package provide more performance than any other RISC architecture except Alpha. This has caused each of our competitors on the other architectures to have to rethink their strategy because they had always assumed that their RISC processors would stay ahead of Intel. That turns out to be a fallacious assumption. Only Digital has an architecture that can maintain a sustained lead on the Intel architecture, in my opinion, and therefore I expect us to gain more new design-ins at the chip level in the future.
Next question, please.
Lucy Ness, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Yeah, hi, I'm calling from Deck Computing in London, and my question's actually already been answered, but there was one earlier. Could I just check that the systems business unit was profitable this quarter? Is that correct?
That is correct. The total systems system sales in the aftermarket product service sales was profitable. As was the PC systems business, which I pointed out also earlier.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much.
Hiawatha Bray, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Yeah, hi. Hiawatha Bray at the Boston Globe. A couple of things. One question I wondered about was to the extent to which the growth of the Internet is driving the growth in demand for Alpha equipment.
Well, I think that it is not yet driving tremendous growth, although clearly the introduction of Alta Vista has made a very good showcase for digital technology. As I mentioned in my remarks, Alta Vista is a server capability that does a search of the World Wide Web. We've already indexed over 16 million pages of data, which is some 8 billion words, and we're adding to that every day. In only 3 weeks, we went from just basically never advertised the thing, just almost word of mouth that we had it available and it's free to the user, to 2 million hits a day, which puts it in the top 5 or so of Internet sites around the world. The reason that it's so popular is because it's so rapid, and the reason it's so rapid is because it's 64-bit Alpha server-based. This is now an 8-CPU system of 21-164 chips with 8 gigabytes of memory attached and 250 total gigabytes of memory serving the network and growing. So it's very impressive. And I think that, as I mentioned in my remarks, as more innovative applications become available on the Internet, multimedia, simulations, more data mining, things of that nature. Clearly, 64-bit servers will play a major role, and that should drive demand for Alpha's products. So at this moment, I wouldn't say so much of our current results are reflective of that, and in that regard, it's very positive because that's an untapped opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the other question is the obvious one. Are you guys going to buy Apple?
No, we're not. First place, we wouldn't comment on rumors of that case, but we're not in the acquisition mode as a company. We have a clear strategy. And we are focused on executing that strategy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next question, please.
Jose Perez Laco, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Oh, this is Ronnie McBride at IDC in London. You said that revenue growth was across all geographies. Can you tell me how you performed in Europe?
Certainly. The overall revenue growth in Europe for digital this past quarter was up to a level of 10%. And that compares to the corporate level reported revenue of 14%. That's also up from a no-growth situation as recently as 6 months ago. So we're very pleased and encouraged by the improvements in the recent past in Europe, particularly in Germany, which has done extraordinarily well. Next question, please.
Brennan Musler, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Illuminata, Nashua, New Hampshire. I just wanted to follow up on some of the 64-bit points. You mentioned earlier that you've shipped 1,000 turbo lasers, or 8,000s, and I was wondering if you could give a characterization of how those are configured. I mean, not exactly, but just a general, what are customers using them for typically today rather than what they will use them for in the future, and are they all going out basically with Oracle parallel server on them?
I would say that more than half of the data that I last reviewed is more than half are going out with the Oracle database on them, which means, of course, roughly half are going out for other applications. I think we've just begun to scratch the surface in terms of the opportunity for very large memory databases. What's interesting about this particular technology is that applications written around top of a database automatically perform better on a 64-bit database. There's not any migration or recompiling or big headache that you normally have to take advantage of a new architecture. So the database technology will enable all of these applications, things like SAP, SAS, and any number of others, to run much faster on the Alpha platform and at a much better price performance. If you saw the recent announcements around the benchmark that we established at 11,456 TPCCs with the Oracle database, at essentially half the cost of the next closest competitor, which in this case was Hewlett-Packard. So the price performance there is compelling, the overall performance is compelling, and I think we've just begun to scratch the surface in terms of 64-bit capability. And as I said, virtually every other competitor is now scrambling to catch up.
Is there any target window about how long the next one will come on so that you don't have Well, you've cornered the market on 64 bits right now. Is there anybody else, and how soon will they be there?
I think all of them have plans. In fact, Silicon Graphics is shipping technical workstations today that use a 64-bit chip based on the MIPS architecture. Sun Microsystems has announced that they have the UltraSpark, and they're introducing it into the marketplace. Hewlett-Packard has announced that the PA-8000 will be available this year. By the way, in the case of the latter two, they're both more than a year late in terms of their announced schedule. But neither one of those companies, Sun Micro or Hewlett, has an operating system that's 64-bit, although their 32-bit applications run a little better on these new chips just because the chips are faster. But they can't fully exploit the address capability until they have a 64-bit operating system. And by the way, IBM had announced that they had put their 64-bit effort, the PowerPC 620, on hold, primarily because it didn't have the performance forecasted to compete with the Pentium Pro. So in every case, Digital has a compelling story, a lead of a year or 2 years, depending on the competitor, and we mean to exploit that advantage.
Thank you, and congratulations on your great quarter.
Thank you for your congrats.
Joel, we can take one more question.
All right, thank you. Bobby Djurjevich, please state your company name and your location, followed by your question.
Annex Research from Phoenix, Arizona, but I'm actually calling from New York. I have one question for Bob and one question for Vin. Bob, the question that I have for you dovetails on what you've just been talking about. What you said about the 64-bit system needing more than just the chips to make it a success in the marketplace is roughly the echo of a comment that I recall some AS400 executives making about May of 1995. In your comment about the PowerPC, you didn't address yourself to the competition with the AS400, so I wonder if you could do that.
I think the AS400 was an excellent solution to the marketplace problem, and it shows that our competitor was focused on what the customer needs were. It was not a particularly impressive machine in terms of bits and bytes, feeds and speeds and all that, but it came with the applications that customers wanted, and it was easy to use and install in a relative sense, and so it enjoyed great success. I think that as an architecture, it proved that if you listen to the customer needs and you bring out an innovative product, you will be successful. On the other hand, it's somewhat run out of gas in terms of its performance, and as I understand it, again, you should ask these questions of Lou Gerstner, my counterpart at the IBM company, but as I understand it, they're rethinking where their migration path is now for the AS400 in light of Intel's very surprising performance on the Pentium Pro. I think that fundamentally, though, the lesson of the AS400 and a lesson that I hope all of our executives at Digital now thoroughly understand is it's important to listen to the customer, what problem the customer is trying to solve, and to bring an effective solution to address that problem. It's not just about technical excellence, although that's a necessary condition, it's insufficient. So at this company, what you find is, yes, a continued focus on excellence, a continued focus on leadership in computing, but a renewed focus on customer satisfaction. And in fact, my executives, the ones that report to me and the ones that report to them, their bonus program has a direct component that is impacted by improving customer satisfaction metrics, so we're quite serious about it. A lot of opportunity for this company to improve on the current results, although we're quite gratified to see the continued success of the programs we put in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. The question for Vin is, I was intrigued by the fact that you now have 4,500 people less than a year ago, and yet the operating expenses are flat. Can you explain to me why that is so?
There is not a direct relationship between population and spending. It is very increasingly so a common practice in industry today to divest of capabilities that they have internally that are not competitive and to outsource that that service or that requirement to another company. So in that case, you're still spending, although you're spending at a lower level, and the population resources are not under your company's ownership, but under the ownership of an outsourced enterprise.
All right, that makes sense. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Bob and Vin. This concludes Digital's second quarter financial results teleconference. If you have any additional questions, please call me at area code 508-493-2195. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there will be a rebroadcast of this conference call starting today, January 23rd, from 12:30 Eastern Standard Time until 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. The phone number to dial is 1-800-633-8284. You will need to enter the reservation number 152-9139. Again, that phone number is 1-800-633-8284. You will need to enter reservation number 152-9139. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. You may all disconnect, and thank you for participating.